Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please use the handsets when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Antonio Reale with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. It's Antonio from Morgan Stanley. A couple of questions from me, please. So if I look at your journey, you've delivered large de-risking in NPEs over the years. You've also lowered your sensitivity to the sovereign book, and your capital is at 13.4%, and I don't think it's ever been higher. So today you're increasing your dividend payouts from 40%-50%, all in cash. And my question is, how are you thinking about share buybacks from here going forward? I see you've talked about increasing to a 70% payout in a sensitivity scenario. Can you maybe talk about more on the assumptions behind that scenario? How much would rates need to increase for that scenario to materialize? And just a general update on what we can expect going forward over the plan horizon without rates going up otherwise. That's my first question. My second question is about net interest income. Rates may go up in 2023, and then hopefully we won't need to worry about NII anymore. But until then, how should we think about your outlook for net interest income in 2022? There's lower TLTRO accrual. You've talked about it. It's a relatively large part of your balance sheet. Lower interest income from NPL sales. Can you give us a sense of what this could look like, what this could do to your NII this year? And lastly, just if I may, if I see slide 19, you're showing you're 2 years ahead of your targets with respect to de-risking. You're going to be at an NPE ratio pro forma for the 1 billion sale of 4.8%, which was your target for 2024. In 2024, you were also assuming a normalized cost of risk of 48 basis points. So I'm wondering, how should we think about cost of risk for this year? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reale. Basically, again, we think is a good evidence of the potentiality and possibility of the bank and on the capital strength to give the message of increasing after a few months the payout from 40% to 50%. Of course, we live in the real world, so we have seen what the market is happy to expect from other competitors. We want just to make an example in which, considering the landing point, which in our opinion is acceptable, which is again 12.5-13% of common equity and above 400 basis points of MDA, and of course doing and performing our business plan, this could be could lead to an increase of shareholder remuneration. We didn't say, just to make an example, we traduced that in a payout, but of course I think in somewhere, maybe in a note, is very well described that in that case we have not yet decided how to perform this capital distribution, if in terms of higher payout rather than buyback. These are not yet consideration that we have done. We wanted just to give, I don't know, a comparison of the potentiality of the sensitivity lending to a very consistent and sound capital position. NII, difficult this year to give a guidance, not because I don't want to give, but you are looking at what's happening in the yield markets. So for sure we will have a reduction of 50 basis points starting from July of TLTRO. For sure the starting point for Govies is much lower than we had last year because, as I mentioned before, we have sold an important amount. But this give us also the opportunity to buy at higher yield. So let's say that I would take for sure the reduction of the 50 basis points of TLTRO. All the rest, frankly speaking, is under consideration. Again, also the potential reimbursement of almost half of the TLTRO that we had in program for the first maturity date in June this year is under consideration because we have to understand if there will be a difference between a good opportunity, funding opportunity, and on the other side, some investment opportunity. So nowadays it's difficult to say how much this will lead in terms of NII. For sure, the commercial banking activity will expect an increase in NII, both for a growth in volume, but in my opinion, also for a slight increase in margin. So all in all, for sure, some reduction vis-à-vis this year is difficult to say how much, depending, of course, from the investment opportunity that we will have. We have hands-free. We are very happy of starting from a very low position in Govies, and so we can build up again our portfolio. Last, the risking. Yes, we think we will basically being since 2022 at the level expected in 2024. This, of course, will bring to a normalized cost of risk. That's the reason why we were very transparent in announcing also the cost of risk this year in 2021, which was 55 basis points. Let's say that without further de-risking, we think this is the starting point, of course, for cost of risk.
Thank you, very clear.
The next question is from Christian Carrese with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my question. The first one on interest rates, you gave a sensitivity on net interest income. I was wondering what could happen if interest rates goes up in terms of fees, so the placement of investment products. So do you see any risk of lower risk appetite by clients? And should we look at net interest income together with the trading income? Because we saw that you reduced the trading portfolio at the end of the year, but maybe you're going to rebuild the portfolio. And I was wondering what is the, let's say, the size, the weight of Italian govies you could look at, because you reduced year after year below 50% on total govies. So you could go up again to 60. I don't know if you can give us an idea. On cost of risk, you highlighted that you already reached on a pro forma basis 4.8% gross NP ratio. That was the target for 2024. The 1 billion disposal had been already provisioned, or there could be some, let's say, headwinds in 2022. And on capital distribution, you set a 50% payout this year, higher than the guidance you gave just in November. So we agree because the Common Equity Tier 1 at the end of 2024, the guidance was, at least to me, too high. I was wondering if we have to get the 50% payout of this year as a new minimum level for future payout. And in terms of buyback, this could be a 2023 story, or maybe it could start already in 2022. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carrese. So a very good answer about question about the combined effect of NII sensitivity vis-à-vis investment product sales. Of course, in the banking industry, everything is very much linked in the different aspect of revenues. Of course, as we say, is a problem of a long bench, because of course, if the NII increase is, as you know, 40 basis points, we have more than 150 million and 100 basis points, 430 million. So I think we could replace a lower impact in potential investment product. But again, for us, the important thing is not that much the revenues from investment product sales rather than increasing the stock of asset under management, so the net inflow. And this is our main guidance to increase of another 3.54 billion, taking advantage from the deposit. Of course, it will be a bit more difficult to reach the target if interest rate goes up in a sensible way. But again, on the other side, we will have so an advantage in terms of NII, which is not a problem in my view. Italian govies, yes, we are now 49%, but we, of course, we have always had the guidance between 50% and 60%, so there is room to not only reconstitute the disposal we have done, but also to buy something more, even though in our program there is always the idea to stay 50-50 on Italian and international govies, European govies, basically. Yes, the 1 billion of further de-risking is basically, I would say, is materially already provisioned. Of course, the transactions are not yet concluded, otherwise I would have announced, but under IFRS 9 we have already provisioned what we think is necessary to a massive disposal that we have in mind, for which we have in mind something in the region of 700 million. The rest would be single name disposal that we think can be done by a few months. And normally when we do single names, of course, there is no further needs for provisioning. Capital distribution, I would say, is not a change of our business plan, which was only done 2 months ago, but is, I would say, a sort of guidance in which we want to stress that the opportunity to maintain a sound capital level are now quite clear for us, and if we are able to remain at that level and to increase further the capital through capital generation, both from profitability and from capital management, we will be able to perform better in terms of shareholder remuneration. Last one, the buyback. Frankly speaking, we didn't think yet to buy back. We are happy to say that there is more room to increase shareholder remuneration. We will consider from time to time the situation of capital and decide what we can do in the next months or maybe during the plan horizon, for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Roberto Peronaglio speaking. Sorry, before leaving the words for another question, let me remind you it's important that that I have only two questions for analysts, because we have a lot of analysts that already booked the and so we have a long list of analysts. So I ask you to have two questions, and maybe if there is room, we will go further at the end of the question of the other analysts. Thank you.
The next question is from Fabrizio Bernardi with Bestinver. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. I just have one very fast question, I think. If I look at the P&L of the full year, but also the one of the fourth quarter, you have At the end, the 81 basis points of cost of risk stated, of which 26 are, let's say, non-core, so probably one-off, and there is also a massive fair value adjustment on fixed asset of 140 million euros. I hope this is maybe the last one that we see this. But in any case, my point is that the 2022 P&L could be extremely rich if we have a focus on core provisions, maybe the lack of this kind of fair value adjustment. So the question is if you can maybe give us an update about the EPS target you may consider as correct for 2022. If you have any, if you are confident about the, about that, obviously. Thank you.
We are confident, of course, but as you know, we gave some guidance very precise on 23 and 24. We normally don't give immediately, beginning of the year, some guidance about the year under due. But, of course, this year is not that difficult. Of course, there will be something in between the roadmap that we have toward the 2023 results. As you rightly were mentioning, the vast majority of the gap could be filled through lower provisioning, which we feel is in our possibility because, again, this year was very good in these terms. We started very good also January, beginning of February. So let's say that the increase in net profit can come from the very regular figure, growing figure that is, you see in core revenues and total revenues, coupled with some potential benefit coming from the reduction of cost of risk. The major would be this reduction, the better would be the net profit. It's quite straightforward. It's a bit difficult nowadays to give you a more precise guidance, but we are optimistic that we are leading toward the results of the plan.
Sorry, if I can ask my second question very, very quickly. Do you have any update to give us in terms of M&A color about what can happen in the next few months? We have seen Carige probably gone to Modena. There is another former cooperative bank that now is a joint stock, so maybe they can be ready for a deal. Are things accelerating, or do you think the situation in a sort of a standby mood?
As you know, we were very active in this field 1 year ago. Nowadays, we are very much more concentrated on our figures, and we are trying to perform a very satisfying, I would say, business plan. And this is our real target now. We don't see right now opportunity for other merger, for as far as we are concerned. But we are very much concentrated on trying to perform good result and sustain our stock price, which we feel is still underpriced vis-à-vis the results that we are performing.
The next question is from Azzurra Guelfi with Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Two questions for me. One is on your preference for allocating capital. In the past, has been de-risking, and you just said that you are now more focused on your plan than on M&A. So the switch towards more favorable capital return is a result of the macro, but also the M&A and growth option. And could this revert if stock, if you want to re-rate in the future, and there is opportunity coming on the M&A? And the second one is on cost guidance. Can you give us some sensitivity around the inflation on your cost base? Thank you.
Thank you, Azzurra. I'm not sure I understood the first question, but I think you were mentioning if we have a better price to book, we could consider M&A. Is this the question?
It's basically like you have changed, if you want, your approach to M&A, and now you are talking about more openly about capital return. Are the two things linked? Could they revert if there are opportunity coming up?
Yeah, of course, I think it's very clear that the bank is more rewarding for everybody if things go well. The restock would mean that we will be appreciated, our results and our core forecast will be in line with market expectation, and this, of course, this got also more confidence to be in line with a potential better remuneration. We have, in any case, this opportunity, because what counts, again, is the Common Equity Tier 1, not the market cap, but, of course, a sounder market cap would give us, and I think the market and the stakeholders, more confidence about a remuneration policy higher than what we have done up to now. Vis-à-vis the inflation, we have a sensitivity which is very low. It should be in the region of 6 million for each 1 point, full point raise, so it's not really material. In terms of guidance, again, I mentioned the reduction in personal cost, which will come from the early retirement scheme. Of course, we have reviewed a bit the general cost, because you know that this problem of the energetic cost and general expenses growing will also in IT investment will impact a bit the cost of the bank, but nothing material, frankly speaking. All in all, of course, there will be a reduction in cost.
The next question is from Domenico Santoro with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you for the presentation. A couple of one, very quick. Is it my understanding correct that at the moment you have a positive variance on the NII given the yields, sovereign yields, the way they move? And, I mean, to me it looks quite significant. I'm not sure whether you will confirm this, given that you're willing to rebuild a little bit of sovereign. And on the other side, a negative instead on the cost, also understanding the answer that you gave to the colleague before. If you can also give a guidance on 2022 costs, would be great. And the second is on the NII sensitivity. I don't remember being so huge, actually. 20% of the NII is quite a surprise, positively, of course. Is it because what has changed compared to the guidance that you gave in the past? Is that because you assume now that also the reserve of the ECB will be taxed at a lower rate, or because you don't have any more macro hedging on deposits? So what's the main you know, swing point? Thank you.
Hello, Mr. Santoro. Yes, as far as the first question about NII, yes, of course, as you know, the sensitivity, which is part of the third question, is a very good news for us. There is a considerable increase if interest rate go up. Of course, we are referring to the short terms, the Euribor and short term rates. In terms of yield on govies, of course, also could be a good news, because again we have to invest quite a few, because we have sold 8 billion during the last months, so we have an opportunity to rebuild our govies portfolio. So the increase in interest rate gives us the opportunity to choose the best strategy. I don't think the NII consideration changed a lot. If I am having a look to the figure that of the last year, and we are at the same level basically since January 2021. So in the last year, basically there are 10 million more or less of the figure that we gave today. Finally, on cost, I already said that there will be some reduction, I would say 40 million in terms of personnel, and some top up of 10-15 million in terms of general cost.
Thank you.
The next question is from Giovanni Razzoli with Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Two questions, and if you can clarify or replicate, sorry, what you mentioned about the potential for the theoretical exercise on the capital. I miss your comment there at the end of the plan. So my first question is actually on the super bonus. Can you share with us what are the volumes that you have acquired as of the end of 2021? And do you think that there could be impacts on the 3.5 billion euro volumes target in 2023 from the stop and go that the government is introducing on this measure? If I remember correctly, you have an estimate in the plan of 315 million euros of accumulated revenues out of these credits, clearly spread over a 10-year horizon. So I was wondering whether this can impact also the 2022, this stop and go by the government. And the second question, can you share with us what is the amount of upfront fees that you've booked in the Q4? Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Razzoli. So starting from the first one, capital return. If you are referring to the slides related to the potential increase of the capital remuneration, which is 23, I was saying that we just exercise some sensitivity leading to a bottom of capital, both in terms of Common Equity Tier 1 between 12.5 and 13, and in terms of MDA buffer between 400 and 450 basis points. Having said that, if we are able to perform, as we are quite convinced to do, the figure of our business plan, we should be able to generate capital cumulative shareholder remuneration, which is consistently higher than the 40% that we have mentioned in our business plan, which of course was leading to a 14.4% of common equity. And this would be equal to something like 70% of payout. But we say that it's not given that this will be the payout right now, neither that it will be only payout and not a mix of buyback and payout. In terms of upfront fees, Q4 was, of course, as I mentioned before, better in running fees rather than upfront. Q4 is always a bit lower than the others. Was slightly above 50 million vis-à-vis 64 million in Q3. The super bonus impact, you want to know mostly how much we have. I think we have engaged, first of all, let me say that we are in a quite, we feel very confident and very comfortable with the engagement we have done, both the one we have already performed and the one we are due to perform. We have only given a temporary stop to the retail acquisition of Superbonus because we had the double process. So we had our partner to buy in the first time, and then we were buying month by month the full amount concerned. Nowadays it's impossible, as you know, to perform this way, so we are arranging our operation in order to buy directly by the retailer this amount, and we think by half of February we can restart to buy normally as we did up to now. The engagement that we have are in the region of 3 billion, of which already contractualized already sold, already bought 900 million, a bit lower than 1 billion.
Thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Vercellone with BNP Exane. Please go ahead.
Good evening. I have the same question that was already asked by Santoro, because I agree with what he said, that the sensitivity was very different in the annual report of 2020. If I'm not mistaken, 100 bips was around 280 million, not 430. It had already changed in H1, interim results in H1. So you told us it's been the same for a number of months, but what we want to understand is what changed versus last year in terms of the assumptions you're making, because the assets and liabilities, they can't have changed that much in the meantime. So I would have the same question. And the second question is on your bond portfolio. Can you share with us what is the average yield that your bond portfolio currently carries? Thank you.
I'm sorry that you have a different figure. Frankly speaking, I have all the figures month by month, starting from December 20 right now. Then, of course, we have also previous figures, but not immediately available here. Maybe the difference is that we are normally we talk about 40 basis points sensitivity and not 100 basis points, but I'm sure this couldn't be the major difference that you have. Frankly speaking, I don't have I have a consistency month by month on the 40 basis point basis, frankly speaking. The only thing I can imagine can have some impact is that the vast majority of lending is now at fixed rate. Meanwhile, of course, we have floating rates on deposit. But I don't know if this is the can bring to the difference you experiences. We will be more precise if you want with our IR, but we are available to give you month by month all the historic figures. Just a minute, so then my colleagues are giving me the yield, the average yield. Is 110 basis point on the current portfolio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Adele Palama with UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good evening. Two questions from me. So one is if you can tell us which are the various moving parts that are affecting the CET1 capital and the RWA in quarter on quarter. And then on fees, in the last four quarters, basically, you had beat your guidance of quarterly 450 million fees. I was wondering which is like the guidance, the quarterly guidance for fees that you are expecting in 2022. Thank you.
Let me start from the second one. If I understood, is the guidance on the fees. We should experience an increase of around 3%, which should be something like 60 million of increase in commission. On the RWA quarter on quarter, we are just recovering the data. Just a few seconds.
Hi, this is Edoardo Ginevra. Just the key components are synthetic securitization that we performed in the final part of this year led to a reduction in RWA. on one hand. On the other hand, we have factored only in the last quarter the increase in the payout in the dividend, which of course matured over the total 12 months, whilst until the third quarter we have adopted a more conservative assumption. So these are the most important counterbalancing forces.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Luigi Pedone with Equita. Please go ahead.
Hi everybody, just a quick question regarding the reduction in Italian BTP govies. I was wondering which is the amount of the unrealized gain on Italian BTP after the latest reduction. Thank you.
Of course, the reserves are now in a negative territory. I think it's something like 20 basis points. In terms of common equity, making the difference between the positive that we had in December and the current situation. Meanwhile, of course, we have realized we are going to realize something like 100 million.
In the first quarter? In the first month?
Yeah, in the first 40 days, of course.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Marco Nicolai with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. The first one is on the insurance. You mentioned before the possibility to anticipate to 2022 the integration of BPM Vita. What's your updated thinking on the early exercise of this option versus your initial targets that were envisaging the buyback of insurance only from beginning 2024? And then a question on the equity method line. Can you give us an idea about the underlying trends? I understand that you had a non-recurring item there this quarter, but can you give us some color on the consumer unit, consumer credit unit, and maybe also about the insurance, and any outlook here for 2022. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for the question, Mr. Nicolai. Unfortunately, I think that the insurance aspect of our plan is a bit under-considered. We are focused very much on realizing as soon as possible this opportunity, because as you will remember, for the plan will produce a very consistent return for the bank, especially considering that it's not consuming any capital. So we run since last quarter 2021 in trying to understand the different aspects, starting from regulatory to operation to commercial, and we have seen that after 3 or 4 months of work that there is the opportunity, where there is the possibility, of course, and this is only for BPM Vita, for the Covéa business insurance joint venture, to maybe anticipate the timing that we, in the first time, postponed to first part of 2023 to 2022. Even maybe the first half of 2022 in terms, of course, of authorization. This is because, of course, we want to be as soon as possible full in place on the driving seat, and we are growing in experiencing this bank insurance business very soon. We are, of course, taking on board new people for this business, and the opportunity to anticipate revenues and experience in order to be very ready in 2023 to make the bigger integration with Vera Vita is, in our opinion, a very good opportunity, which doesn't basically needs capital, but give us some potential return before what we expected. So this is something that if we will be able to perform all the duties due by the regulation and getting all the authorization will be something that we would like to anticipate. Associates, this was a very good year for many aspects, both maybe only the bank assurance was not that good and will be for sure better starting from 2022. But both Agos and Anima were performed very well. As you know, in our balance sheet, in the Q4, there is no the contribution of Anima Q4. They closed the balance sheet beginning of March, so we will have only in the Q1 the results of the Q4 of Anima, which of course, as you can expect, is a very good quarter, we feel, because of the performance fee as much as all the other asset management company. In terms of Agos, from one side, maybe you have seen that we are reducing and having a run out of our previous consumer company, but on the other side, the 2022 started very aggressively in terms of consumer finance. Agos is performing very well. Our network is increasing a lot the sales of consumer finance, so we are very positive, of course, also in Agos. Of course, Agos also had an extraordinary contribution in Q4 21 for around 40 million due to the realignment of the fiscal value to the accountant value of the goodwill. So all in all, we feel that apart from these 40 million, there could be a very good year also for 2022.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Castagna, there are no more questions registered this time.
Okay, so thank you, everybody. I think it was a very interesting meeting, and I hope to see you in the next few days for further information about Q4 results and current situation. Thank you and good night.